Whether I'm going to Johnny Food Masters or cruising the parkway on my TV.
WMFO in Medford. Listen to Rising with Skybar. We'll be up with Dan in about... I'm going to play a song first, and then we'll be up with Dan Kopko. Talk about a lot of stuff. Right now, I'm going to start with... I was on a podcast this past weekend, Rock Garden Radio, and they asked me to play, pick some of my favorite bands. One of the bands I picked was Social Distortion. And so it reminded me of that band again, and a lot of people just know them by the big hits, Bad Luck and Ball and Chain and Story of My Life. But I'm a loyalist with a lot of these bands. I follow them from front to finish, and they put an album out in 2004 called Sex, Love, and Rock and Roll. I thought it was their best work, and this is something off of that. And as I said, we'll be back. We'll be back with Dan. WMFO in Medford. All right, Dan Kopko is here with me. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Skybar. Thanks for having me, brother.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's been a while since we... first time, actually, you've been up on the show.
First time live. We did something remote during the big shutdown a while
back.
Did
a few Zooms back. So it's a real treat to have you in here. But before we get into... We're going to talk about a lot of your stuff, but we're going to talk about Watts a bit. But I guess we're going to go way back to... was it Maximus? Maxim.
Maximum. Isn't Maximus like some sort of Greek or Roman emperor? No, Maximum. Maximum is the band that sort of started it all back
kind of the
day,
glam so. Band, a hair band that...
Yeah, I wouldn't call us a hair band. The hair was nice.
Hair.
The hair
was
pretty. I wish I still had all that hair. I still held on to it fairly well. But yeah, man, it was the 80s, and we partook in all that the 80s had to offer. So,
yeah.
And included the look and the sound of the 80s.
And you almost, you went out west for a bit.
We got a little record deal. It was like classic story of like, you know, these Boston boys hooked up with the right people. We... through some channels, hooked up with a manager named D. Anthony, who had managed like Peter Frampton and some other people, and he was looking for some new acts to manage, and hooked up with us. And so we went out, got signed by Enigma Records, went out there to make a record, and we partied for several months and did things that, you know, were that young people do, and then didn't make a record.
and then
shortly after that, Enigma went belly up, and we found ourselves back in Boston.
You were kids then, like in high. Were you still in high school?
I was like, you know, I couldn't drink yet. So like the other members were just old enough to drink. We'd go out to clubs and stuff, and I'd stay in the apartments and party with the locals. You know,
good experience, I guess. Though
it was great, you know. But when you have success that young, you think
that's the norm,
the way it is, man. Like I've earned it, and so here I am, you know. And then it's a crushing blow when that sort of collapses under you, and you're like, oh, I got to go get a real job. Like, what's that all about?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So the I had a touch on that because that was I know it's part of your history, but I first found out of Watts from the Blout Christmas parties that he had often, and it was a jam. People would jam. You'd play a lot of the greatest hits and local. I mean, not local, but the classic rock. But every now and then you'd play your own stuff.
Yeah, we were getting together. We had like the Dirty Trucker guys would come over. Mm-hmm. We were all buddies. That was the early days of Watts being, you know, part of the sort of Abbey Lounge scene and stuff like that. And so everybody would get together at the holidays and do these big jam sessions for endless hours at a time. And, you know, then as the years went by, those hours waned.
We
don't really do it as much anymore. Now it's all moved over to Nicky T's place, right? So, like, you know, that's where it keeps the dream alive, right?
Yeah, so that was that like early, that was early 2000s. Right?
It probably was more like, you know, late, 2010 kind of thing, you know. I think Watts, first got together around, we played Brian McElroy. Remember, Brian McElroy was in the Truckers. We played his bachelor party. It was the first gig that Watts ever did at the Abbey Lounge. And that was like, we got together for a one-off, and then it turned into like 15-year run or whatever we had there. So.
And what year was that roughly, the McElroy thing?
I think it was 2005.
Right, because One Below, was that 07, One Below?
Yeah, the first record came out in like early 07, so I think 05 is when we first got together, and and that was it. The first record came out in 07, and we kept it going and did like, what, 5 LPs and an EP or whatever we did, and had a nice little run.
Open for some big bands?
Yeah, like, you know, as a kid, all the bands we loved, you know, Cheap Trick 3 times, Gene Simmons, Ace Frehley, who else, man? Go down the list, Smithereens.
Yeah.
A lot of great gigs we had and fun times with that band, you know, and it was great rock and roll. We had a nice heyday there while it lasted. That was a well-oiled machine for a while.
Rock and roll juggernaut. And so the guys, I imagine the guys from Cheap Trick were all wicked cool. Just guessing.
Oh, totally cool. So down to earth. And like, what was great is like, we played with them like, I don't know, basically it was like every year or two for a little while we were doing up at the Hampton Casino. And the second time we played with them, the first time they were all, you know, gracious and stuff. The second time we played with them, like, hey guys, like old home days. The joke was, though, that one of them, I won't say which, thought we were the Neighborhoods because Lynchy was in the Neighborhood. So
and the Hoods had done a few gigs with them too.
Yeah, they knew the Hoods. Yeah. And I think, you know, there was some connection there that had to do with some illicit things too, but I won't say exactly, but as I understand it. But you know, it was nice. And every time they came, it was great. And the big missed opportunity, though, that we've never really talked about is when we played with them, I think it might have been the last time we played with them. And I remember Robin Taylor Zander was on the drums. Robin's kid was on the drums that time. And you know that every time they're doing Surrender, they go get somebody from, like, you know, the audience or backstage or whatever. And they've had some other people up there to do that. So, you know, they get to that spot in the set, and then he disappears, and I'm out in the crowd with like Lou and those guys, like, oh yeah, Cheap Trick, all right. And then I realized after, John Blout and I were like, you know what, they were coming to get us, and we weren't there.
Oh, damn.
So we missed our opportunity to be on stage for Surrender with Cheap Trick.
That would have been epic.
Yeah. But great guys, so, you know, whatever. Yeah. It was a lost opportunity there, but it was great to play with all those guys. Yeah.
And I imagine around this time, obviously, you have a great connection with Lou Mansdorf, Rumbar Records, which is your state, your radio, you know, your label. So did you meet Lou about the same time in the mid-2000s or so?
Yeah, Lou was an Abbey Lounge thing too, right? Lou had just moved to town not too long before that, and all the Abbey Lounge thing was going strong before we showed up there. We were sort of latecomers to that scene, you know, but we got to know everybody there pretty well, you know, and it's probably a good 3 or 4 year run before the Abbey closed after that, I think, you know. But Lou was there, and he came to see Watts early on. And liked the band, but we just hit it off personally. Yeah. And, you know, I struck up a friendship with Lou and Lisa. That's strong to this day. We have daughters that are the same age. And so, you know, we were sort of family. And what's great with Lou is, like, you know, this is, you know, coming up together and doing this stuff and watching his success is he's had so many great things happen with Rumbar. I mean, so many great bands, Boston and well beyond Boston now. It's amazing what he's done with that label, and I love it because there's nobody more passionate about rock and roll and what he does, and that guy does it for the love of the game, man.
He's enthusiastic as hell. Every band on his label, he's so enthusiastic about, and he brings them in from all over the country too. He's not just a local guy. He brings them from overseas, from over.
Yeah, he's got too many. I'm like, Lou, you gotta like slow down, man. This day, you gotta have more time for the Cupco project.
Love his band. I love his band. He had a band from the Midwest, Mono and Stereo. That they're now Wimp.
Yeah,
Some guys in it are. I love both those bands. The guys, they called in about a month ago, but I mean, I met Lou basically through going to see Watts as well.
Yep.
So because we were all fans for a long, long time.
It was a great little scene back then, you know.
Yeah.
It still is, you know. It's pretty amazing how well it's held together. You know, you and I were talking earlier about, like, you know, how who would have thought that, you know, a lot of these bands would still be doing this stuff in different lineups and stuff. It's great.
People still want to see them. Yeah. That's. I'm gonna play a Watts tune before we move along to other things. Play something by Watts. I'm going to play something by Jenny D and the Delinquents. I'm going to talk about that when we come back. Dan will know this song because there's a running, not joke, but this song is something that used to...
I know what it is now.
Of course you do. I'm going to play that. It's a deep cut.
I love this song, if it's what I'm thinking.
I know, probably.
It's one of my favorites.
You love them all.
I couldn't sing it these days, though.
I know. Yeah, that's the one. We're going to hear that. All right. I'll be back after a couple songs. We'll talk some more.
Don't make me fly off the handle. Come on, baby, light up.
All right. So that was Jenny D and the Delinquents, Don't Tell Me. And before that, we had Watts, Sweet 99. So, yeah, Watts' Sweet 99 was a song I used to request all the time. Jenny remembers that.
I remember. And then, like, I couldn't sing it anymore.
Right.
It was my, when I was just saying to you during the break, that was my take at doing, like, an Aaron Perino song, right? I was, like, Sheila Devine fan, and so I'll try something like that. I don't think it's quite the Sheila Devine, but
no,
I dig the song now to hear it
song.
After all those years. And by the way, that Jenny D song is just awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. And which brings me to the Shanghai Lows. I mean, I think they're a perfect blend of what you used to do in Watts and what Jenny D does with kind of like she harkens to a bit of the 60s girl group kind of stuff. And Watts is just a rock and roll machine. And so they were blended together in a sense. And I think that's how you come up with the Shanghai Lows.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's not all as like, you know, Jen writes the girl group stuff and I write the rock stuff as you might think, you know, because some of the more rockin' songs, like Takes One to Know One is a Jen song, which is total rockin' Cheap Trick kind of thing, or like, you know, and then like something like, you know, the newest Op Operator, which is more like sort of girl group doo-wop-y kind of thing, and is something I originated. So,
yeah.
And we mix it up, and it's great though, because that was, you know, I was a fan of Jen's long before we get the band, obviously, the Dents, Downbeats, you know, we played with them, the D's, you know, and played with all those bands, loved all those bands. And why she ever thought she should hook up with a guy like me to do the music thing is beyond me, but she did, thankfully. And I had a feeling, you know, it would work well because I had always wanted to try some different stuff like that. And I loved what she was doing with all her stuff and putting that sort of, you know, there's a lot of chemistry there that works well with the music, you know.
Did it form somewhat from the Clash stuff?
Well, it was the Clash thing, yeah. I think you might have been at that one. We played that one at once, and she did a couple of songs. We did that London Calling tribute on the 40th anniversary of London Calling, Tim McCoy and I and some other folks. And what a great fun thing that was, too, by the way. That was just a killer band. Oh, man, that band was unbelievable.
I'm like, I don't know, you got about five projects.
And then we had like all these all-stars, Peter Moore, we had Tony Kaczynski, we had Jen. We just had all these great people join us too, but Jen, you know, Jen did that, and we just got to talking and said, "Hey, you know, wouldn't it be cool to do some stuff?" And she said, "Sure, yeah, let's try it," you know. And so that summer we got together, started writing some stuff, and that became, you know, the stuff that ended up on the first Shanghai Lows EP and LP.
Yeah.
Stuff we did that summer right before the pandemic.
Yeah, and how we should mention the band. The guys in the band.
Do we have to?
We got them.
No, the running joke. We did an interview
players.
The other day, and I, you know, they're like, "Do you have anything to add?" And I was like, "Well,
no,
you know what? You know what? The rhythm section doesn't get enough love. Like Chad Raleigh, the newest member, actually got a write up in a piece that Lee and Chuck didn't get a write up in. So, but no, I mean the band is awesome. So you know, obviously Lee Harrington, when we're putting the band together, we're like, "What bass player could we like never get?" Ha ha. Let's ask Lee. And strangely enough, for whatever reason, you know, Lee decided to do it with us. And we're like, well, that's a good start, you know. And then we got Chuck, who I'd played with in multiple sort of, you know, tribute nights and stuff that Nikki put together and stuff like that. And just loved his playing. Really versatile player. He's got all the chops and just amazing. And then most recently we added Chad Raleigh, who's, you know, we were like, I was a fan of his from way back. He's like a utility knife guitar player. He's got all this, you know, he's got the pedals, he's got like the country stuff, he's got the rocks. I mean, he's just a great fan of his for the longest time, and just adds a whole other dimension to the sound. I'm psyched to have him on the recordings because like he's adding something completely different. If you hear like the B-Bender guitar and Op Operator, that's Chad and Chad's creation, you know. So it's like, great, man, you're bringing another ingredient, you know. So it's great. I mean, these are all people I was a fan of before we got in a band, and like to be in a band with these people now is just amazing.
Yeah, it's a super group. And, I mean, you can't go... You're shooting for the top when you pull Lee from the hoods, and Chuck is so versatile. Like you said,
I wouldn't go that far, actually.
No, I'm putting him up there. He's...
I kid.
Yeah. But Chuck's... But he's played in like metal bands and country bands.
He still does. He's got like 17 bands.
Yeah.
Like, the guy is the busiest guy in town.
He's whittled it down about four or five.
Yeah, it's not as many as he was before, but he's still a busy guy. I mean, amazing stuff like Greg Hawks and things that they're doing with Eddie Japan. And so, it's just crazy good stuff, man.
This is the I'm going to play Op Operator in a minute. We'll talk about it after I play it. Is a full length ahead for Shane?
Yeah, whether it'll be a full length or it's probably EP, more. I mean, with these things, you know how it's more a matter of like, can you generate the time to kick out 10 songs, you know. But I mean, I think we got a bunch of stuff. For timing, we might end up doing an EP because, you know, the people's attention spans are shorter than they used to be. So, like, better to get stuff out there and have it be heard and then, you know, generate the next round of stuff. So, but we'll see how it goes. It's growing great. I mean, we got a lot of great stuff in the process, some killer songs, a lot of variety. I love the variety of the band, you know, because it's like there's so much different stuff. It's not like, you know, okay, well, this is the sound, and that's what you can expect next. It's like, oh, no, like, there's this thing with, like, this, you know, spaghetti western thing. Oh, there's this thing that's like a throwback thing, whatever, you know?
And, yeah.
Or there's a straight rock thing, you know? So it's makes it, it keeps it interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to play a couple, but I'm going to start off with the with Op Operator, all the newest, and we'll go from there. All right. I need your boys to help me vibrate. Love that one. Jen in All Her Glory. Plymouth Rock. Before that, Takes One to Know One and Operator, the latest single and video. Fantastic video. And so
thanks,
on.
Thanks, man. Yeah, Joan Hathaway.
I was going to say
that name. Hey, man, I'm riffing here. Yeah. Joan Hathaway did that, yeah. Who also did the Takes One to Know One video. And she's just awesome to work with, a blast. It was like, well, you were on the set that day.
I hung in the background.
Unexpected video, but did not want to make a cameo appearance. Your rates were evidently much higher than Eric Law's.
Yeah, E. Law's rates. Do it for nothing. Yeah. I don't think he's getting paid for that.
But working with Joan is awesome, as always. And of course, we shot at Nikki T's basement, which is well known in our community.
Yeah.
And then at Chris Anzalone's Stereo Jacks, and he was gracious enough. But I will say, he didn't clean the salt off the floors before we shot the video, and like we've gotten some comments that the floors were a little dirty.
That was cool. Hank, you mentioned Nikki asked me like a month before. She was like, hey, they're shooting a video at my house. You want to come by? I'm like, sure. So I'd never been to a video. It was kind of cool the way the process works at the and actually went pretty quick. It wasn't like a
it's a lot of work to create
a full day,
2 minutes and 30 seconds of video.
That's
magic,
right? That's what I'm saying. Like, but the part I was for the Nikki T part,
Nikki T was great, man. She put out like a food spread. Yeah. It was like Italian cold cuts and stuff. It was like amazing. It was a catered thing, you know.
Yeah. You just did the song like over and over in various formats, and first she'd shoot you, then she'd shoot Jen.
You're giving away all the secrets. We performed it once, and it was perfect on the first take, as you know.
It all sounded great. Yeah, it's a great video. Are you going to... You do a lot of videos, though. Most of your songs get video.
Well, we've been fortunate. We also have worked with Harry McCoy, Tim McCoy's brother, on some video stuff, and he's amazing. Yeah. So we've been fortunate to have some great music video directors who make us look good. So, and I think, you know, that was part of our shtick. You know, because we came out sort of during the pandemic, there was no opportunity for live shows, so we made up for it by doing videos.
That's what people did, yeah.
People have sort of come to expect from us that they'll have some sort of silly video attached to whatever we put out there. So yeah,
that's what
there'll be more
do.
Videos. There'll be more singles, more videos, more to come from the Shanghai lows.
I'm gonna be a regular now. I'm gonna start crashing all of them.
Yeah.
So,
well,
when's the next video shoot? Be there. I'm gonna get in this one.
All right.
So cover the Shangs. I want to touch on the Peppermint Kicks and I guess Sal in general, because this is gonna also tie into the Amp Heads, but. Peppermint Kicks, that was interesting if I remember. You guys didn't actually like see each other for the recording of that record.
No, that was also during the pandemic. The short story with Sal is like he and I didn't really know each other. And of course, I grew up a huge Stompers fan, like everybody around here. Yep. And it's like,
myself,
So we, Watts back in the day was doing this holiday concert thing up at the Capital Center for the Arts in New Hampshire, Concord, New Hampshire. And Sal was the head of the house band for the night. So he and I struck up a conversation, got to be friendly, and then we became sort of email pen pals. You know, once in a while we'd trade some ideas or just whatever. And then during the pandemic, you know, the Shangs had just put out some stuff, and I was like, oh, what am I going to do next? And I had some songs that didn't make the Shangs record. And so, hey, you know, I wonder if Sal would want to play guitar on some stuff. Maybe I'll just work these things up. And I sent it to Sal, and he sent me a couple songs, and he's like, why don't we make a record? And I was like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So we made a record, and it was like, we spent about 2 months. We traded ideas like every day. We never saw each other in the same room. We never, you know, we'd chat once in a while by Zoom or whatever. And the record just came together like, you know, magic. It was like so easy, you know. And Sal is just the most prolific, amazing songwriter I've ever come across in my life. I mean, the guy like spits out 5 ideas in a day, and it's like they're all great. And, you know, I'd wake up in the morning and I'd open my email. There'd be like 17 guitar tracks. Like, hey, Dan, man, like, you know, what do you want to use? Which ones you want? I'm like, I don't even have the time to listen to them all. But okay, sure, you know. So it was a really fun record to make. And I'm really proud of that record. I think so, back to front, it's like totally solid and it hangs together well. And I've gotten compliments from folks on that record that, you know, might not even be fans of my other stuff or whatever. And so, you know, I love that Peppermint Kicks. Oh, that's cool. Thanks, man. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to play something off it. But then, and then the Amp Heads is, you also, you get to be the side guy in that.
That's great. I mean, Sal, you know, he does these shows with the Amp Heads, and the Amp Heads is really mainly Sal. I mean, he's got some folks he works with, like Brad Helene and this guy Kevin Rapillo, who plays drums. But at the live version, Marty Richards is on drums, Brad's on bass, and Sal has, you know, asked me to play guitar, and like, you know, playing guitar with Sal Baglio, sure, sign me up. Like, you know, it's you know, being like usually the front man, I usually got a lot of water to carry. And so with the sideman gigs with the Amp Heads, it's like, you know, show up with my guitar, jump around like I like to do, like strike some chords, do a windmill or two, and, you know, it's a blast, you know, and the band is incredibly good. And so it's a lot of fun to do. So we'll be doing some shows. I think there are a couple of them are announced, but Barents and Sal together. And I'll be a sideman for that stuff, and that's going to be really, really fun. So I think we got something coming up in June. We got something coming up later on in the summer. So I'm looking forward to that too.
Yeah, I'm going to play before we get, and we got to get to your solo stuff too. But first, I'm going to play some Peppermint Kicks, and what else do I have? Something else lined up. It might be your solo stuff. Oh, I think it is. We're going to come back and talk.
All right.
But we're playing the Kicks. I think I'm playing Roller Derby Girl.
Nice.
That work for you?
I love it.
Hey, fanzine.
The
Skipping Records, one of the first Shanghai Lows. Right, one of your first singles.
It was off the EP, Kick It Like a Wicked Habit, like Mighty Manford would say, Kick It Like a Wicked Bad Habit.
Indeed. It's, you know, an hour goes quick. It's 8:49.
It does. We could spread this. Like, should we spread it out for another hour? I could talk all night.
Oh, I
because you didn't get
could.
The idea yet that I could talk all night.
We'll see what happens. But I, powers it be. Maybe if it was the summertime, I'd get it too because the kids are gone.
Yeah,
let's have your back.
Well, I'll come back in the summer then.
We'll have
some lemonade and.
All right, so we gotta plug some. Well, the solo thing was that just a bunch of songs that. Like what made you? Because everything's with the band with you, so there's just stuff you wanted to put out solo.
I'd never done a solo record ever, like you know, and I've done all this band stuff, and I just you know I had some stuff sitting around that you know I talked with Jen. Hey, which songs you want for the Shangs? I got this stuff. You know, what do you have? And so there's songs left over that aren't right for the Shangs, or that you know you could do some different stuff with.
Yeah.
And so I just decided I'd put the thing out. Lou was gracious enough to put it out on Rumbar, and so it was a nice little thing to keep me busy for a while.
Yeah,
that's about it. But I'm proud of it. It's a good. I mean, I was able to stretch a little bit, you know, and do some stuff with like synthesizers and
some
sort of drum machines and stuff that I hadn't done, you know. So I listen to a lot of stuff. People would be surprised, you know, but the things I listen to aren't what you might expect most of the time. I listen to a lot of new music. I listen to a lot of new sounds. I listen to a lot of like diverse stuff. And
I do the same. And if you listen to the show long enough, you know that I'll place. I was on that, talking about that, plugging the podcast again. I was mentioning that. When I was a kid, I was a huge Neil Diamond fan, and I still am. I've seen him 3 or 4 times, but on a weekend, I could be going to see Rancid or Social Distortion and Neil Diamond on the same weekend and not think twice about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you should have, you know, and they're both worthy of saying, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of great bands. A lot of people are, oh, no, new music today sucks. I don't agree, man. There's so much great new music. You just got to, like, be open-minded about it and listen, you know, but some people making some great music out there now.
And you got to look for it. I mean, you can't just, again, not rely. You can't just rely back on the classics. It's just great, great stuff. It's what we all grew up with. I like it all. But you have to move the needle a little bit. And so sometimes that opens you up to stuff that you're not familiar with. But for me personally, though, I think it's, I would get bored if I listened to the same genre just repeatedly.
Yeah. And the other thing is, as somebody who, you know, you can call me a producer or whatever, but to produce music, you got to, like, you know, you got to bring some new, fresh sounds in. Nobody wants to hear the same old things, you know. So it's about mixing things up in a different way and sometime doing the unexpected in a tune, you know. And, you know, I love the Shangs can do, like, bring back sort of like, oh, let's do some 50s doo-wop ooh-wee-oos, but then let's have this synthesizer in there and then let's have this thing in there, you know. And it's like, I love mixing it up that way, you know, because it just modernizes it a little bit, gives it a different flavor, you know.
Yeah. It's a flexible band.
Yeah.
Do you have any? Do you have any Shangs shows?
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, coming right up near to a venue near you that Faces Brewing Company in Malden, Massachusetts, on Friday, April 5th. If you like kick-ass, like real rock and roll shows, this is going to be one because we're playing with our good friends in Diablo Gatto, who we've played with many times. Love them, great guys, just incredible band live, and then Hammered Saint, which is like
Hammered Saint, for a bit of an assault.
Yeah, man, it's great. I love it.
I love it.
You know, but probably the greatest front woman in Boston rock, right? And so, like, but like, yeah. So that's going to be a banger of a show. So it's the three of us on Friday, April 5th. So that's a week from this Friday coming up at Faces Brewing. Shangs are on early. So if you're, if you're like, oh, man, I can't get out and stay out too late. But, like, Shangs are on early, so you can get there and check us out.
And bolt before they were.
No, I'm not saying nobody should bolt. But
if
you're afraid of assaults, you could bolt.
But no,
I would recommend you stay for the assaults because it's going to be awesome.
Hammond Saint are great. And they're a crazy band on stage. But, yeah, I like all those guys.
Yep. Great.
And Diablo Gatto is a great band, yeah. Jesse from going back to Shake the Faith, ex Shake the Faith guy from back in the 80s. I used to go see a lot of.
Yeah, that's Maximum's sort of peers back then. You know, we knew Jesse back then.
You played in, but did you ever hear of the band called The Unattached?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they just put out do you know about this? They just put out a digital recording from The Rat. In 1983.
Oh, wow. No, I did not know that.
I just saw it like a week ago.
I love hearing some of that old stuff. I go back to it, and it's like, wow, this stuff's kind of, you know.
It's raw.
It's cool. And it is raw, but, like, you know, it's it brings back an era, like a feeling, you know, that, you know. When you live through that era, it was kind of a golden era in its own right, you know.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, but yeah. So I downloaded it the other day. It's long. It's like a, I want to say like a 24 song. I don't know what kind of show it was. Who does 24 song shows nowadays?
I don't know, but
I'm like, damn, they're out there for a bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I got to we got to get out of here. So I got to find a song to time up. So, you know, when you transition over, I got to find a song that fits in with the time frame that we're at. But thanks so much for coming in, Dan.
It's my pleasure, and thanks so much for having me, Skybar.
Yeah, always great to see you. It was long overdue.
Next time we're going to get you in the video, just
that'd be horrible.
Observing. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Did you see one of the, I forget who said it, but someone said two rock stars or something, Rhett Legend. So I said, what was Dan bringing someone I don't know about? I don't belong in any video and any musical form whatsoever, yeah, but I do enjoy bringing the music.
My kids wouldn't agree that I'm a rock star either, so there you go.
We're 0 for 2.
I appreciate it, Skybar. Thanks, man.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to play some. Rick Barton has some new stuff out. I'm going to play with something off his solo record called Coming Home, and I'll see you next week. WMFO in Medford, Rising with Skybar. Oh, I didn't get a PSA in. I'll do that afterwards. Got to do that stuff. Here's Rick Barton.
How many days, how many weeks, how many years could someone weep? When the loss is too much to bear, how can you find the strength to even care? Still wake up and do your best, brush your teeth and get dressed. But you no longer have that skip in your step. You trudge the road hoping to forget, and they say, life goes on. Nice sentiment, but it don't take away the pain. Now looking out for what come next, I have a little hope, more or less. At least a Sunday come out today, so I'll play for you a serenade. It won't be happy, but it won't make you cry. Somewhere in between, maybe you'll just sigh. Though I won't be singing no hallelujah, at least I'll be a talking to you. You're singing out, I'm alright,
I'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Ooh, I'll be okay.
I'm alright. Yeah, I'm doing okay. That's what we learned to say. Now I don't know how many years I got, the ones I've logged add up to quite a lot. Some bore fruit and some did not. I never really gave it too much thought. So moving forward, I'll keep that in mind. What I've done yesterday, I'll try to leave behind. But the memories I have of your burning desire kind of make this whole song title go haywire. Yes, I am.
All right, WMFO in Medford, Rising with Skybar. We got to get out of here. If under the influence of anything, everyone think about getting behind the wheel of a car and driving. People die that way. Public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. That was like a speed blast right there. All right, that's it. Going to leave you with one by a band called Ribbon Stage. Peace. See you next week. Thanks.